all for attending, and we're going to call the meeting back, reconvene our meeting, and Mr. Barr has agreed to give us our invocation this afternoon.
Thank you, Lord, so much for providing for us so wonderfully. We thank you for this college. We thank you for this city. We thank you for this county, Lord. We praise you and we glorify you. May we serve you to the best of our abilities. May you fill us with your spirit and guide us and direct us in the business at hand. We praise you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. This time the board will hear comments and questions from individuals who have not requested a specific place on the agenda. If there are any individuals wanting to participate, John will share the following procedures. I don't see anyone available, so assuming there are no comments or questions, we will proceed to the next item, which is our routine matters. You've all had a chance to read those in your briefings and such, and I would entertain a motion to approve those routine matters.
So moved.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. There's the majority. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is unfinished business, which we don't have any. Then we'll move on to new business, visiting in future. The district confidential agreement with general release and trust thesis, America Incorporated.
All right. Based on the matter being confidentially settled to the mutual satisfaction of the parties, I recommend the approval of the confidential settlement agreement and general release with Thesis America Incorporated.
All right. Thank you. Need a motion to approve that.
So moved.
So moved.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second.
Have a second. All right. Thank you very much. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Ben, who did you?
Ben.
Okay.
Okay. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Next item on the agenda, Student Information System Project Implementation.
Okay. I'm happy to report that we will begin with the first item being approved with the implementation of the CAM Student Information System Project, and it will begin immediately. We will have the launch of the Student Information System in March, and it'll be a 12 to 15 month project, and so we'll give you monthly updates on that as we begin the process.
Okay. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is COVID-19 response status number 21.
Okay. I cannot believe that, and I say that every time, but we are on 21. And so let me just go through the main things that have changed. And as we do every time, we're just going to deal with the things that have changed, not all the entire report. Cindy had to change it up a little bit on page 3 as far as confirmations, and it's not going to sound right because we don't think it is right. But the Tom Green County, we show the increases in the confirmations. But then when you get into Dawson, Howard, and some of the others, we're not seeing those exact numbers reflecting what we think the activity is in the county. But this is the best thing we could do. They changed how they were doing it at the state level, and so that was the best thing that we could do today. However, just to give you an idea of what has been going on, in 3 weeks, we have, since we got back from Christmas, before today, we're reaching right at 200 individuals that have exposure or confirmation. And before this morning, we were at 118 confirmed and 73 exposed. So, again, that was just in the last 3 weeks, which is there's been a lot of activity. As of this morning, we do have Rhonda reported, shared some of the ones that had come in. We have 15 that we call, that we say they're in protocol. Protocol means that they're either because they're confirmed or exposed, and so they're in protocol. And so we have 15, but I would make the point that the reason that we only have that many in protocol is because the CDC came out right before the first of the year and changed the quarantine and isolation requirements. And so instead, and we've been following the CDC guidelines on quarantine and isolation. And so when they changed it from the 10-day or you can down the 5-day and 5-day back into basically into society if you're wearing a mask, what we've done, because in the state of Texas, because we have the mask, we can't require people to wear a mask, we have given people the choice. They can do the five away, and you have to not be not exhibiting fever and that kind of thing in order to come back after 5 days. But we've been giving people the choice. They can do the five and five, coming back and wearing a mask if a person doesn't wear a mask, or if they're still, obviously they're still sick, then they don't come back. But we would have had a lot more people that would still be out. But we've been able to keep business running. And I would say, I think that is reflective of why the CDC made that change, was probably because of how they were seeing that this Omicron variant was so contagious and what it was doing. And so that has worked well as far as being able to keep things moving along. So that, again, is reflective of what is happening with these numbers. I'm going to keep going through our report. And we continue to do a lot of what we do legislatively, you know, through all the protocols. Still lots of reporting going on, and there's been a lot of activity recently because with the CARES Act, because of quarterly reports, annual reports, and that kind of thing. And so we've been doing that, continue to expend the funds as appropriate for appropriate reasons. We did implement, as far as instructionally and based on what we saw happening when we got back and the numbers that were coming in confirmed and exposed and all that, was one of the reasons we went into the altered class schedule beginning on January the 18th through the 30th. And that decision was based on the fact that we were trying to reduce the numbers of students on campus due to the rise in the COVID-19 cases across the district. And as you know, our face-to-face, our health professions, and our career tech courses, they continued to be face-to-face. But the courses that we could more easily take to online, which were some of the core courses, we took those to online for the 2-week period. This week, and in fact tomorrow, we have the COVID team, as you know, that has been working on this from the inception of the pandemic, and we're going to be having a meeting tomorrow to make decisions on how we should go forward, if we need to do anything differently. But at this point, the game plan is that we would be going back to just the amber alert. We're still in amber. We've not changed that. But we just started saying that we were in heightened amber alert with what we were doing with the implementation of the altered class schedule. So that's what's going on with that. Another thing as far as instructional planning, because what we were having to do with our classes, some of the spaces in on our San Angelo campus, the Kevin J. Berry room, the rapid response room, those are not available to rent because of the fact that we were using them for biology labs and other classes so that we could accommodate social distancing. We were allowing those rooms to be rent it out at night and on the weekends. We purchased extra Blackboard LMS for cloud storage to help support the courses that were taking online through the pandemic and beyond. As far as college services, the financial aid, the U.S. Department of Education announced another extension of the pause on student loan repayment, interest and collections until May 1st of 2022. They did that on December the 22nd, so we've implemented that. We are continuing to consider and research the use of the HERF III funds that we received in May 2021, and we'll be coming back to make some recommendations on that. There was a new report. Again, if you'll notice that I'll say report, report, report. There's so many different reports that are being required, but there was a new report of federal funds related to the pandemic that was due to the Corning Board on November the 12th, and Brenda got that in. She's the report queen. Okay. As far as in HR, as far as accommodations, we have one request that was received and approved for spring 2022 faculty accommodation. Already mentioned the fact that we implemented the new guidelines, the 5-day isolation and quarantine with mask wearing and giving employees the choice. We also awaited what the Supreme Court was going to do relative to vaccine mandates, and we know we have that information that has been released, and so we will apply that to Howard College as applicable, and that could, and we're still working through all that, but it, as far as like our health care, our students going into the hospitals, those kinds of things, we'll be getting more information on that. Resident halls open for the spring semester with limited visitation and the previous COVID-19 protocols in place. We continue to monitor any kind of pandemic requirements and guidelines in relation to federal, state, and local. Basically, that's the same thing. We continue to have donors that are interested in providing support for students and employees struggling, and one being HEB gave us another gift of $2,500 for the food pantry. We update our guidelines as necessary. We're still working with the prison on how we deliver at that location. And class delivery does fluctuate based on exposure. As it mentioned, daily decisions are being made in regard to actions necessary for reported and reported or determined exposures of confirmed or exposed cases. I want to give a shout out to Rhonda. I know she has had many confirmations, calls over the last that she's been dealing with. We had another clinic on the La Mesa campus December the 15th, and we will be scheduling more vaccine clinics for those interested in the springtime. That would be the report on COVID today. If anybody has any questions.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
We have several resolutions. I know you've had a chance to read through those. I'd like to approve those all at once if we may, save some time. If you wouldn't mind, Mr. President, to go through those for us.
Sure, just quickly. The first resolution is for the school boards that we have the opportunity to serve in our 13-county service area. And annually in the month of January, the school boards in the state of Texas are recognized the Honorable Greg Abbott always declares January as that month. And this particular year, the theme that they've gone forward with is Rise Above. So we wrote the resolution in that way. And with your approval, we will be getting this resolution out to all of our school boards. And so that's one of them. The Dora Roberts gift resolution, I'm happy to report that we received $170,000 from the Dora Roberts Foundation. As we know, they have been so supportive of us through the years and continue to show interest in monies for the scholarship programs as well as the two nursing faculty chairs that they have funded for multiple years. And so that's the Dora Roberts resolution. The next one, Steve and Joe Stone have established the Derek Wayne Griffith Memorial Endowed Scholarship, that is their son, and in the amount of $25,000. And so that is that resolution, and they're interested. It's going to be mainly in the choir area, music area, and they're interested in getting that going immediately. The next resolution is to the Ellis family, and this is on our San Angelo campus. And this particular gift is for $20,000, and it's for the funding of student scholarships as well. We also, if you'll remember, we talked about Fred Krebs back in the end of the year, and he had given monies toward our Big Spring, La Mesa, and SWID campuses, and he contacted Julie and added the San Angelo campus. So this particular resolution will be for $25,000, and it will be for the Big Spring, La Mesa, San Angelo, and SWID campus student scholarship program. And that's
hey, thank you. I need a motion to approve these resolutions.
Make a motion.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a second. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Okay, next item is SWID. Nothing there, so let's go on to performance and measure outcomes.
Okay. And we would be at the section relative to performance excellence, and it would be the audit report, and Brenda is... Okay, Jan, are you on? Okay, Jan's not quite on yet. See what we could do, Mr. Chairman. Is she responding to you? Is she... She's calling right now. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jan, you're not on, are you?
I'm on.
Oh, you're on. Okay. Well, good. All right. I didn't hear you beep in, so all right. Thank you.
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything. So, everyone, this is Jan Thomas from Logan Thomas and Johnson, the company that the firm that does our audit on an annual basis. And as I mentioned to you, this was literally still, and it is still, in process. You will know this has just been, this was put up in board book for you this morning. And so they're continuing their work. Let me just say that Jan will be presenting it in basically preliminary draft form, but it'll be complete this week with the information that we need to get to the coordinating board and some of those others. And so we wanted to go ahead and give you the preliminary information, and if anything changed, then we would bring it back to you in February. But Jan and group, they have been working under duress. I think this whole country is working under duress. there was also a death in their family member of the firm over the last few days. So that also created some challenge. But I think we got the document from you, Jan, about 3 a.m. last night. So and so anyway, and then I know that you and Brenda have been working on things this morning. So I'll be quiet now and let you give your report, Jan.
Okay. Well, thank you for the introduction. As Dr. Sparks said, I'm Jan Thomas, and we've been working with the district for many years and really enjoy the relationship that we have with the college. And I'll just go through briefly the changes that I think are important, and then, of course, if you have any questions, you can jump in at any time. I don't anticipate any changes to this draft, so I just wanted to let you know that from the top, but we're still going through our final review process and here at the firm to issue the opinion. So let's get started on page. If you want to go along with me, that's fine, and if you don't, that's fine too. But on page 5 of the document that was uploaded today is our audit opinion, and it's an modified opinion, so which is the good opinion that says everything is fairly stated in accordance with GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles. I did want to point out this year we added the foundations as a discretely presented component units. The foundations are getting big enough now, especially with the college contributing some of their endowment funds to the foundation, that we as a team with the college and us felt they were getting material enough that they needed to be reported, since the purpose of the foundations is to basically fund the college scholarships and things like that from their income. So we added to our opinion an emphasis of matter paragraph that talks about the fact that the foundations were added as discretely presented component units. And then we'll get back to how that presentation shows in the financial statements in a minute. So then starting on page 8 is management's discussion and analysis, which is written by Brenda. And it gives more of an overview of the financial statements, and it's written in language that, you know, regular people can understand better than the footnotes and things of the financial statements that has a lot of jargon in it. So those pages give just a top-level overview of the financial information that's printed in the financial statements. So if you want to read something that probably makes more sense, that would be where to go. The balance sheets, or statement of net position, begins on page 18. And I kind of like to just go over the big changes because you're familiar with the entity and the operations. So I just kind of go through the changes of the financial statements that I think are important. So you can see accounts receivable increased significantly. It's the second line down on the statement of net position. And it increased mostly due to the CARES grants that were received. I know that the drawdowns were not done immediately after the funds were expended, because there were a lot of calculations that were going on, and those CARE grant rules were changing daily, it seemed like, during the year. So I think there was some uncertainty by everyone of what expenses were actually allowed and what you could actually use. So there was some, they put kind of the pause button on pulling down some of that money. So it caused the receivables to be a lot more, like $2 million higher in 21 than 20. The other thing that changed during the year that caused an increase was the new sick leave policy that was adopted, where retirees could take some of their sick leave and use it before they finally left. And so that caused an additional accrual in the accrued compensable absences line. And we ended up adding a line in non-current liabilities. And the theory is that at day one, when someone starts working at Howard College, they're earning that benefit. So we wanted to make sure that that was accrued on your balance sheet. And there were some theory and assumptions made because we don't really know what that liability is. So there were assumptions made about people that are were eligible to retire in the next 5 years. 100% of their sick leave they're eligible for was accrued. And then like somebody that did start yesterday, their time wouldn't be accrued because we don't know if they're going to actually retire or not. So HR and accounting did a lot of work to come up with a calculation on what that liability could potentially be, and it is now recorded in your balance sheet. Okay, so on page 19 is the first schedule of the discretely presented component units, and you can see there I've got each foundation with a column, and then they're basically balance sheets for the year. As I said, that's new this year, so nothing really to say there. They have investments, and that's what they do is invest money. On page 20 is the statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net position. And as you're all aware, COVID just threw your revenues, expenses, and changes in net position all over the place. So tuition was down, but federal grants were up. And so it just kind of, everything depended on what activities were able to actually be carried on during COVID. So there's a lot of fluctuations in the line items. But the bottom line is that you increased your net position by $4 million, which is the third line from the bottom, compared to $5 million last year. But part of the $5 million increase in net position in 20 was the $3 million and the insurance settlement that was received from Travelers for the hail damage. So when you take that out, your increase in net position actually increased in 21 compared to 20. Page 21 is the revenues, expenses, and changes in net position for the foundation. If you're interested in that, it's got donations and then how much was spent in scholarships and investment income. Pages 22 and 23 are the statement of cash flows for the district, and then there's a page for the statement of cash flows for the foundations. You ended up with an increase in your cash and cash equivalents during the year of $371,000. Do we have any questions on the financial statements, anyone? Okay. So I wanted to point out just a couple of things in the footnotes. Most of it's boilerplate, same as last year. But I did want to point out on page 24, we added a footnote regarding the foundations and how they were added to the entity's financial statements. So that's in note one in the reporting entity footnote. There are a couple of paragraphs. The third and fourth paragraph in that footnote describes adding the foundations and why they were added. And then all the other footnotes are pretty much the same as last year, no big changes, until you get to page 52, which is, I think the subsequent event is important, and it's disclosed, and the subsequent event that was disclosed this year is the refunding of your bonds. So there's a footnote in there about the $1.9 million new bond issue. Then after the footnotes come the supplementary information and the required supplementary information. The required supplementary information is about the net pension liability and the OPEB benefits. And then the supplementary information provides more detail about your operating revenues, non-operating revenues, expenses. It just provides a little more detail than is provided at the financial statement level before the footnotes. So if you're interested in that, you can go there. And then following that is the single audit section, which starts on page 85. We have our opinions on the audits of internal controls and then the audit of the major programs. And we don't have any findings to report. At this time, I still have to get things through review, but I don't anticipate having any findings. If we do, I'll reach back out to you in February and let you know what those are. But right now, we don't have any findings to report, which is a good thing. And I think that's about it, unless you have any questions. I really appreciate the opportunity to meet with you and to work with the district, and it's a pleasure to do business with you.
Does anybody have any questions?
Don't see any questions.
Okay, so as we mentioned, they'll be finishing up. Generally, what we would do, we would bring it to you after they had completed, but because of the timing and how things kind of got off behind with the issue, then we just thought, let's go ahead and she could present the preliminary. They'll finish it up. They don't anticipate anything to change. But and then they will then release the final. And then when we get that, I'll send it to you. But because it basically, I mean, it is what it is. Y'all just have to accept it. You don't get to really, you know, say we're going to change anything because, you know, that's the way an audit works. I mean, that's the report. And so, this keeps us moving, and then Brenda and group are getting, they have reports that are going in to everybody this week, LBB, coordinating board, else? Everybody. Yeah. SEC, yeah, I mean, there's just all kinds of reports that are going in. So we went ahead and handled it that way, and based on what Janice says, if there's anything that changes, then we would bring it to the February meeting. But I wanted y'all to go ahead and have an idea of what they were finding. And so, as always, I want to compliment Brenda and group for all their hard work. And as Jan said, they're still doing a little, you know, their final stuff. But at this point, to say that there are no findings I think that is a significant factor. When you, as Jan pointed out, it was literally stop and go. I mean, we'd spend money and then we'd stop, and we're not spending any money until we get better directions from the federal government on can this be, you know, is it appropriate to spend money or not? And so we were holding back. That increases our revenue and, you know, what happens at the year end. But we were waiting to make sure that we were doing everything right. I want to give credit and appreciation to Jan and her group because they have answered multiple emails, questions from Brenda relative to, do you think we can spend the money this way? Everybody's been reaching out to the federal government. They have a basically
a call line that you can, yeah, the hotline, yeah, and opinions from them and make sure before we started down the path of using, doing something. So it has definitely been a team effort, but I know that Jan had commented to Brenda that the ladies did a super job as far as how they were, the financial aid aspect of it and how that they were doing all of that. I mean, it has been quite a massive effort. So so far they're saying check off, you did it. And so congratulations, Brenda and group, and thank you, Jan. I know, again, y'all have been a part of that, so we appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. The next item on our agenda is fund balance report.
Yes. And so basically then, Brenda, just from that audit report then, put together where we look as far as fund balance and how, you know, basically Jan just shared that information. And we have it by campus, and so that we can keep all of the different fund balances in place.
Okay.
And so
very good.
That information.
Very good. Adam, monitoring, purchasing, student information system, service storage, and server software.
Okay. Okay, and so with our decision today, we are working on the hardware needed for the student information system, CIMS, and Eric has been working on getting quotes from different vendors. We're very close to being having that, but we don't quite have that information. We think it could exceed the $60,000 threshold. So I was I'm asking for your authority to go forward the best bid when we get that information back on the hardware so that we can begin to get that hardware purchased and we can keep moving our student information system implementation forward.
It's pretty important we get that going. I need a motion to approve this.
So moved.
So moved.
Have a second.
Second.
Have a second. All right. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Motion passes. All right.
Okay.
And catalog changes.
And I will bring the information report back to you next month on what it ends up being so you'll know.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Handbook catalog changes,
no,
we don't have any.
Don't have any.
At this time.
Construction renovation projects.
Okay. In your board book, you have the information relative to the project up to date. Terry goes over that every month if there's something that is specific. We are moving forward with our Hailstorm number 3 work, and so with today, with that decision, change order number 5, we have a proposal coming from WCR. Right now the price is $198,050, but we're working on moving. We think we're going to be able to get that price down a little bit, but again, in order to keep things moving, if you would give me the authority to not exceed that price, we will work on that to get it down a little bit more, and that will keep all of these roof activities moving forward. And Terry, would anything you would specifically want to say about where they are on the project?
They met this morning, and they're working to see where we can, you know, find some economy at the cost of the project. And, you know, we don't know. They did tell me they thought the price was coming down, would not commit on how much. So I think we'll have that in a day or two.
And we'll bring that to, with your approval, back at the next board meeting.
Thank you, Terry. All right, I need a motion to approve this change order.
Move. Moved.
Have a motion. Have a second.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Hailstorm number three.
And basically, with that change order, we are beginning to address hailstorm number three. And so we'll keep you updated next month as we keep that process going.
Very good. President support.
Okay. Upcoming activities, you have your monthly calendar. Again, a lot of activity, again, relative to athletic season. In particular, I would bring to your attention that your next board meeting is going to be on February the 28th, and we will keep you informed, updated as far as some of the things that we're doing through the month by the time we get to the board meeting on the 28th. So I'm not going to go. There's a lot of activity relative to the athletics and some of the other part.
Okay.
Will be when we talk about election stuff.
Recognitions?
Okay, recognitions. I shared some of the information with you. We had a great night last Thursday night. Our San Angelo campus was recognized by the San Angelo Chamber of Commerce. An individual award went to Caitlin Brosh. She got a special recognition award. She's our Director of Student Life, Marketing, and Outreach. Very involved in the San Angelo community, does a lot of things with the chamber, but she does a lot of other things in the community as well. She was a 2016 recipient of the 20 Under 40 Award, and this year the chamber took that over, and she had a big part in that as a leader. So she was recognized by the chamber for her activity, so we're very proud of Caitlin. Also, the Chairman's Award was awarded to the COVID-19 Task Force, and Pam Callan is a part of that task force that meets on a weekly basis, and it consists of the mayor, the city manager, General Hawkins, who is the president of ASU, the superintendent for the ISD, the health department, county judge, chamber president, Shannon Hospital, and they meet on a weekly basis to discuss the status of COVID in the San Angelo community. And so they were given the Chairman's Award. So it was a great night for San Angelo campus, and wanted to share that information.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. All right. Board of Education Development.
Okay. Board of Education and Development.
May election.
Yeah. The election, May the 7th, you need to do your order of election, and it was enclosed for your information, and so we need an approval on that.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the order of election?
So moved.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Election service contract.
All right. Your election services contract is with our Jody Buck, our election administrator for the county. And she put together this contract for us. She works with all the different entities. And so this is basically the approval of it. And we also set it up in such a way that it is for this particular year, but it also is a continuing agreement until something changes. And so we would ask for your approval.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve this election service?
I move.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All right. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. That's majority. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Legislation, legislative, and general updates.
Okay. I'll make this very short. The Commission on Community College Finance reported on that last month. That group continues to meet. They had another meeting last week, and now they'll start meeting every 2 months. But in the meantime, they have subgroups that are working on the community college finance in the state of Texas. If you remember, that commission was legislated by the state legislature. As their task was to look at community college funding. So Texas Association of Community Colleges is highly involved. The legislative committee is working also as far as making recommendations, helping them analyze and look at different aspects of the current formula. The formula funding committee of the coordinating board is also involved. That's, again, a committee out of the coordinating board that's been around for many, many years. So there's lots of activity going on in Texas relative to researching community college funding and how it works. This week we will have a quarterly meeting of the Texas Association of Community Colleges. We'll be talking about that. It's going to be virtual, and we'll be talking about where we are right now in the commission study. Next week there will be a specific breakout group of the rural community colleges in the state. They're doing an analysis of how the small rural community colleges are impacted by the formula and funding in general. So we're involved in that, and that's next week. So I'll keep updating you as we're moving through that. Mr. Chairman, I'll just keep on going if you want me
to. Please do.
The Board of Trustees Institute is March 1st and 2nd in San Antonio, and I've given you that information. We need to get reservations in by February the 2nd, and so if you're interested, I need to know. If you're interested in going at the same time, I think a compliment to you all. They have asked us to, if we're participating, they would like us to do a breakout session on what we did with our strategic plan work in regard to the 75th celebration. So I'm going to need to find out if there's interest in attending, and if so, and then we can finalize with them. I will say I don't, at this point, TAC made its decision literally last week. It was going to be, a few months ago, it was going to be a face-to-face meeting tomorrow or Wednesday. Then it moved to a hybrid. Then last Thursday, Friday, it moved to all virtual. So I don't know if they're going to make any changes on the BOTI, but at this point, it's still going forward. So I can keep you apprised of that as well. So if anybody's interested, let me know, and we'll go from there.
Okay, presentations.
And then that's what the presentation is about to.
Meeting evaluation future items.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Looks like that's all we have. I don't have anything to report, and I'm getting better if anybody cares. Since by the authority vested in me as chairman of the board, I declare this meeting adjourned. Thanks,
you
guys. Thanks for attending.
Thank you very much, everyone. I know this was a long call today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to hang up.
We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.